little dancer took another handhold on the hot rock and pulled himself up. Below him, a sheer cliff dropped away to tumbled and broken rock. Wolf sat below, watching, tail wrapped around his front feet. From where he'd climbed, the view could literally steal a person's breath. Even Eagle didn't have a better perspective of the world. To either side, the sandstone cliffs dropped away from the pinnacle Little Dancer scaled. The land had been thrust up here, and he could see out across the entire basin to the blue-green mountains to the west. There, the peaks rose gray and jagged to rake the blue eminence of the sky.
I promised. I made my decision. Wolf Dreamer, where are you?
Despite his bleeding hands, he braced himself and pushed up, torn fingers reaching frantically for another hold. He found a slight fissure in the rock and pulled himself higher. His muscles quivered and ached under the strain.
Wolf Dreamer!
He got his foot propped on an angular projection and forced himself up. With a final burst of effort, he flopped over the top of the rock, sweat tickling as it dribbled down his fevered cheeks and traced irregular paths under his scalp. Flat on his back, he stared up at the sky. The endless blue seemed to beckon, to call him into an eternity he couldn't reach no matter how high he climbed. There, up beyond the vastness of the sky, lay the land of spirits. He closed his eyes, the faces of his wife and children spinning out of his memory.
I can't go, Wolf Dreamer. I can't leave them. I love them too much. I like being who I am, not who you make me. I'm not a hero, not like you. I'm only a man, a husband, and father. Take someone else, someone stronger, to fight your war for you. Please, Wolf Dreamer. Find a hero to do your work. I can't save the wolf bundle. I can't destroy Heavy Beaver. I love too much. I can't fight.
A chill memory of Heavy Beaver's curse, a vague flash of sage root, wrists gaping, flies buzzing, passed like a snow flurry through his mind.
Not me!
He rolled over and pushed himself to his feet. He stood on a rocky flat no more than 4 paces east, west, north, or south. Small tufts of bitterbrush and saltbush clung desperately to cracks in the rock. Washed by rains, scoured by the wind, nothing but a scatter of head-sized rocks remained.
Oh!
The work looked ancient, weathered away in places, clear in others. Dirt had drifted to fill part of the grooves, scrubby grass having taken root. The entire top of the rock had been laboriously pecked into a large spiral. Little Dancer shook his head, trying to back off the huge carving, realizing he had nowhere to go. Numb, he looked up at the sky, at the glaring sun.
Wolf Dreamer, come speak to me!
The sun burned down on him, baking his body. He stepped forward, grasping fingers, trying to pull the sky down.
Ah!
The sting seemed to come from the trampled brush at first. Then the burning reached past his desperation. He looked down, seeing the triangular head where it stuck to his leg. He kicked out, snapping the reptile loose to coil in the corner of the rocks. Hard stone beat against his flesh as he grabbed his ankle. A searing dizziness gripped him.
No!
Through fear, he felt the world lurch. He blinked with glassy eyes, feeling the poison burning along his veins. Frantically, he looked around, seeing nothing with which to puncture the wounds, perhaps to bleed some of the poison out, for he couldn't bend to suck it. He rubbed tears from his eyes. He could feel the grooves that had been pecked into the rock. He blinked, seeing he'd fallen in the center of the spiral, beginning and end, birth and death. He waited as the sun angled across the sky. Sick, nauseated, he felt death eating its way up his throbbing, swelling leg. The sun slanted to the west.
Monster creatures on bellies crawl. Bite a man's foot, watch him fall. Legless, armless, hair of scale, shakes a rattle on his tail. Teeth of poison, hollow flail, makes blood black and frail.
Who are you?
The sky? Aye, always the sky, blazing hot and white the land, scorched as by burning brand. Dream the big beasts to the stars, away! Their corpses bleach on dusty clay. Change the land the people tread, find a new way, or we'll all be dead. Learn the grass, the root, the berry. Time is short, life not merry. Pound and grind, grind and pound, while the hot wind blows around.
What do you want?
Blinking frantically, Little Dancer reached up, ever up, toward the blue inevitability of the sky. Not for years had Heavy Beaver seen a summer coming this hot and dry. Not since the deep cold had any snow fallen, and then but a wisp that had dried the next day. Only the Buffalo Mountains, from all reports, had received anything like adequate moisture. As if they understood, the buffalo had taken the trails up to the high meadows, filling the land of the Anita with their wealth. With his main camp, Heavy Beaver walked, following the trail left by his warriors. The trail wound roundabout, tied by necessity to the availability of water. They walked over a scarred land. Rivulets had eaten into the denuded soil, only to fill with blowing dust and sand. Even the dogs looked miserable, panting and laboring under their loads as the pads of their tough feet bruised on the deflated pebbles and cut on angular rock. Heavy Beaver did not lead the only band of the people. Two Stones came from farther east, and Seven Suns runners reported that he traveled south from the mouth of Mud River, where it met the Buffalo tributary of Big River. From the south, Elk Whistle's tattered band picked their slow way up from Sand River, reporting that the blowing sand now blanketed the very sky, leaving the gritty air black. They had already taken to eating their dogs. Heavy Beaver squinted at the rising parapets of the Buffalo Mountains. Here, his warriors would win him a victory, or he would face a challenge more terrible than any they faced warring with the Anita.
I'll take your mountains. On my mother's soul, I swear it. By the very blood in my veins, I'll not have silly women out gathering roots, gaining power in the lodges through the food they obtain. No. No man will be held hostage by that. They won't turn the cleansing of the people back in that manner. I'll have every last one of us dead by an Anita war dart first.
White Calf awoke with a feeling of premonition. Power had disturbed her sleep, playing with the little corners of her dream mind. The last of the dreams, however, had played as powerfully as life itself. The images lingered, sharply edged, so real she could practically reach out and touch them.
Oh, so my time has come at last.
She opened her eyes, focusing on the comfortable interior of her shelter. In the peace of the morning, she let her vision trace the familiar belongings that hung from the pegs and rested in the niches. The ancient spiral pecked into the back wall seemed to dominate the room this morning. As the morning sun peeked over the distant mountains, a single sliver of sunlight pierced the hangings and lanced the spiral with a brilliant shaft of light. White Calf pulled her hair back, working her mouth to rid it of the stale night taste. She got up from her bedding, walking over to stir the sagebrush ash in the fire. She dropped tinder on red-eyed coals, coaxed a fire, and began heating boiling stones. Tanager lay covered with hides, a slender arm projecting from under the covers. Her slim hand lay limp, fingers in a curl. Here and there, wisps of shining black hair poked out from under the protection of the bedding. A longing went out to the girl. Curious how power worked. Tanager, the wild girl of the forest and hunt, had been drawn up, lifted into the spiral. White Calf waited for the stones to heat while she used a sharp chert flake to shave dried meat into the boiling pouch. After the water floated thick with chips of meat, she added biscuit root, balsam, and the last of her carefully preserved onions. What little ephedra she had left, she threw in. Tanager would need it. After that, she stepped over Tanager and inspected the stack of things propped against the back wall. She took her atlatl and the bundle of darts she'd so carefully crafted. One by one, she inspected them, checking for cracks in the wood, making sure the fletching hadn't been ruined by the rodents. The bindings remained tight where the deadly stone points fastened to the shafts. Good work, some of the best she'd ever done. The points had been crafted by Three Toes, who, with the knack of the plains people, created the most wonderful points she'd ever seen. Now the stone rippled in the morning light. She ran a caressing finger over the darts, blessing them, lifting them to her lips to blow a bit of her soul into them. The missiles, along with her atlatl, she placed next to the two darts belonging to Tanager. She turned back to the fire, using her heart sticks to pluck the cobbles from the coals and drop them into the boiling pouch. Tanager jerked and sat up, staring wild-eyed around the shelter.
We'll eat in a bit. There's not much time this morning, but maybe enough.
You keep saying that.
I thought as much last night. This morning I know. Dreams were loose on the land.
Tanager nodded, closing her eyes and shaking her head, as if to rid it of her own apparitions. White Calf nodded to herself, well imagining the nightmares Tanager had relived. She took one of her beautifully carved horn spoons and dipped it in the steaming stew.
Here, girl, eat. Eat all you can. You're going to have a hard day.
Tanager stood, color draining from her face. White Calf handed the young woman a small pouch.
Here, take this with you. Chew it as you need. It's an extract I make out of willow bark. You peel it and boil it, and when you boil the water away, scrape up the residue. It works on pain for some reason. Willow has lots of wonderful properties.
Tanager took a stiff step, trying to keep her expression neutral. She lowered herself carefully and took up the bowl.
You talk like you know something's going to happen today.
I dreamed. Dreamed like never before. I don't understand it all, not yet. But I heard the wolf bundle. It whispered in my dreams.
Tanager studied her from the corner of a suspicious eye.
Skepticism. Is that what Bloodbear has taught you all? No wonder the heart's gone out of the red hand. Indeed, the wolf bundle whispered in my sleep. And I dreamed of the first man. Saw him shining and wonderful, smiling and reaching down to me after the wolf bundle had given me its message.
And what message was this? What does the wolf bundle want you to do?
Not me, girl. It's you the wolf bundle wanted to talk to. It said, tell Tanager to help the dreamer.
You keep saying that. Are there any clothes for me here?
Before you dress, let me clean those wounds again. Yes, I keep saying that. It's true. The dreams have been driving me half mad for days. I just didn't know who you were.
Why me? What is all this nonsense?
White Calf found her medicines and looked up at the tall young woman.
Because, girl, if you choose to help the dreamer, you'll become the leader of the Red Hand.
Leader of the Red Hand?
And a way to restore the spiral. Balance, you see? What the universe always tries to maintain and never can. But you have to take that chance. Right now, you don't care for anything but your anger. In the dream, the wolf bundle showed me how it would be. If, and I say if, you choose to support the dreamer, you'll destroy the short buffalo invaders. If you don't, well, who knows? Maybe Fire Dancer and Two Smokes can pull something out in the end.
Two Smokes? The Berdash?
White Calf began working on Tanager's wounds.
I told you power was mixed up in all this.
And these weapons lying beside mine?
You'll need them in a short time. That's why I'd suggest you take that willow bark extract. It'll make your pains...
What do you mean? I'll need them!
Whitecalf tended the last of the bites and abrasions before producing a sheep-hide dress, an example of Two Smoke's talent in tanning and sewing. Even Tanager hesitated, taking a moment to run her fingers over the finely tanned leather. A radiant glow suffused her eyes as she slipped it over her head. The incredibly soft leather wouldn't aggravate her abused flesh.
Don't know about your feet, but my moccasins look about your size. If not, you can make do with winter outers.
You said I'll need the weapons?
You will. The short buffalo people who captured you are on the way.
What?
Of course. I dreamed them, you see. It's a deal with the wolf bundle. I've brought them to you. But one has to escape to take the story back.
What?
How else will you believe what I say, that the wolf bundle needs you? The dreamer needs you.
But here?
You would be the leader of the Red Hand? Ah! Then you'd better start to prove it, girl. You've got 4 men to kill.
There's 5!
One has to live.
One?
Let's say that's my price.
Straight Wood followed behind, watching, while Left Hand worked out the trail. Just luck, that's all it had been. After they had lost the Anita woman completely, a single track in the dust had pointed the way. By then, the woman had to have believed she'd lost them. The tracks had to be hers. There couldn't be many walking around barefoot. And from the scuffs, she'd been near exhaustion and limping slightly. Left Hand continued at a trot now, pointing here and there at a faint mark along the way. They worked up from the Clearwater River, following a well-used trail. Ahead, a grayish-white limestone cliff rose up to a high peak above the dark green tangle of trees. Firm Dart pointed.
Look, someone's gathered firewood in here.
Straight Wood could see the places where the branches had been broken off. He let himself fall slightly behind.
I don't know if this is such a good idea. With only 5 of us, what happens if we run into...
She killed 2 Blue Moons and Tiny Ant!
Firm Dart raised his hand for silence.
She killed our people. One of our greatest warriors. Most of their camps are small with few men, and those old. I say we hit them hard. In the confusion, we kill the woman, and who knows, maybe we rout them all. The heart is gone out of the Anita anyway.
Left Hand nodded curtly, taking to the trail again. Straight Wood gritted his teeth, again taking the last position. Left Hand pulled up before the trees thinned to a large meadow. From where he stood, Straight Wood could see tan hides covering what looked like an overhang in the cliff. No other sign of a camp, no barking of dogs, no calls could be heard on the still air. The old woman sat in the sun, legs folded under her, face lifted to the morning.
One old woman.
Straight Wood felt that tug at his heart, the feeling of premonition. But Heavy Beaver had sung over him and made him powerful. Reassured at the thought, Straight Wood followed. The old woman could have been oblivious. Straight Wood studied the situation. No one could sneak up on them from behind. A belt of trees grew along the base of the limestone, and that was it. Unless an entire war party hid in the shelter, they faced one old woman, and maybe the young girl who'd killed so quickly after they raped her.
Stop there, warriors of the people!
She's one of the people?
Who are you?
I am White Calf. Come no closer or you'll die!
Straight Wood's thoughts went back to that day when White Calf had appeared and taken the Berdash and the boy from under Heavy Beaver's very nose.
The witch? Witch? Are you a witch?
No. But go away! You have this chance, otherwise you'll die!
Left Hand's arm shot back.
Come on, let's find the girl!
Straight Wood straggled along behind, eyes fixed on the old woman. He didn't see Left Hand take the dart that killed him.
The girl!
Firm Dart pointed and changed the direction of his charge, oblivious to the plight of Left Hand. The others sprinted after her. She ducked through the trees with the grace of a deer in flight. Straight Wood hesitated and finally walked up the gradual slope, looking down at the old woman. Yes, this was White Calf. She stared up at him, black eyes flashing.
So, you killed White Calf? Fool. You just brought the death of the people.
Heavy Beaver's warriors are everywhere, witch. Anita, flee from us. Most don't even stand and fight. Heavy Beaver's dreamed their destruction.
With my death, you've spat upon power for the last time.
What do you mean, witch? What would you know of power?
Where's your war party? Eh? Look down where they ran. What do you see?
Straightwood looked just in time to see Firm Dart charge full tilt into a cast missile. Quick fall, the last on his feet, slid to a stop, frantically turning, sprinting for the far timber. The dart caught him before he'd even started, penetrating the small of his back.
You're the last. Run now, boy, and tell Heavy Beaver that a new leader has risen among the Anita. Her name is Tanager. And tell Heavy Beaver, the dreamer, and the wolf bundle are coming for him. Tell him and all the people they'll have to dance with fire.
Straightwood barely heard the last. He turned on his heel, back tingling as his prickling skin anticipated the bite of a keen point. He paused only long enough to throw a look over his shoulder when he reached the trees. From out of the clear blue morning, a whirlwind had formed before the shelter. It whipped the grass angrily, sucking debris and dust high, twirling it all into the clear, still air. Then it moved up the slope, centering over the old woman, tossing her hair this way and that, flapping her clothing about. Finally it rose, lifting over the cliff face. Straightwood ran as he'd never run in his life. Little Dancer had been on the ridge for 3 days, or maybe four. The pattern of sunrise and sunset had blurred in his fevered mind. A continual pain shot up his burning leg, powered with each beat of his heart.
Wolf Dreamer!
Uneasily, he slept, and the dreaming came on him. He'd be one with the eagle, soaring high overhead, feeling the precise control of the wing muscles and tail. Other times, he jumped with the rats in the night, listening carefully for the faint hiss of owl wings in the darkness. His keen nose sought for the rich sweetness of ripening grass spikes.
I'm dying.
Pain had driven him mostly mad. All it would take would be to drag himself to the edge, to let his tired body tumble over the side and down into the forbidding rocks below. Wearily, he raised his head to look down at his leg. The sight sickened him. The skin had puffed out under pressure, nearly twice the size of his other leg. The color had become ghastly. When he touched the skin, it felt fit to burst, like a bladder under pressure. Nausea swept him.
I'm dying.
You are.
Wolf Dreamer settled himself on the rock. He crossed his legs gracefully and sat serenely, back straight, hands in his lap. The beauty of his face, the sympathy and concern expressed in his sad eyes, melted Little Dancer's soul. The confusion, the worry and despair drained away, replaced by a warm breeze that caressed him. Little Dancer smiled, splitting his cracked lips in the process.
I can't be your dreamer. I can't leave Elk Charm or my girls. I love them too much. I should apologize, but I don't think I really can. Not for loving my wife and children. That's not something to be ashamed of. You see, when you asked me if I'd live to be your dreamer, I didn't know how much I'd...
I don't need your explanations.
No, but I... Well, I thought that when a person made a promise to a spirit and then didn't follow through, well, things happened.
I knew you'd come to love your wife. I knew your love for your children would overwhelm you.
You did? Then why let me live? Why send me Wolf to take care of me? Why did he drag me to his den when I couldn't go further? Why did you do all that when you knew I'd eventually fail you?
Perhaps it will take a while for you to understand, but I needed your humanity. From Clearwater, you got the ability to dream. From Bloodbear, you got strength. Two Smokes taught you endurance. From Hungry Bull, you got vulnerability. From White Calf, you got wisdom. But the most precious gift of all came from Sage Root. She taught you humanity, that common identity with your peoples. She gave unselfishly of herself, knowing what was coming.
And it destroyed her.
So it will destroy you too, in the end.
Wait! You don't understand. I'm not the one. I'm dying. And I wouldn't leave my people. Not Elk Charm. Or my girls. Or Hungry Bull. Or Rattling Hooves. Or
the rest of humanity which needs you? Yes, that's right. And family and friends, they all love you. But that's what I need. A lovable dreamer. You'll do fine, Fire Dancer, just fine.
My name's Little Dancer.
You never took a man's name.
After everything I'd seen, taking a different name didn't seem that important.
I'm renaming you now. You're a man. More so than the greatest warrior or the most cunning hunter.
But I'm dying.
Tell me, Fire Dancer, why did you climb up here?
To find you.
And why did you do that?
To tell you I couldn't leave my family. That I'd come to love them too much. That I couldn't leave them alone.
But you could have simply stayed at camp. You didn't need to seek me out at all.
Wolf was there, watching.
Did he ever threaten you? Did he ever act to remind you of your duty?
No. But I thought
I told you the first time we met that free will couldn't be denied. Did I ever imply that you'd be punished if you failed me?
No.
So you could have run. But you came, knowing even as you did that I might destroy you for saying you wouldn't.
But I owed you! I couldn't just pretend nothing happened up there in the snow.
You are a man who accepts responsibility.
It doesn't matter. My first responsibility is to my wife, my children. Now, it seems the rattlesnake has used his own free will. I guess it's all without point anyway. I would ask one last thing of you. Please, if you could make things easier on Elk Charm and my daughters.
I have no intention of letting you die, Fire Dancer. Less now than I might have before.
What?
Wolfdreamer stood, rising like smoke, and walked closer, settling next to Little Dancer's fevered body.
Your mind is wandering, shifting from real to unreal. For 4 days, you've been without food and water. That's the sacred number. Snake venom has lowered your resistance even further. The gates of your mind are open. The threshold's dropped. You're teetering on the verge of losing yourself, ready to touch the One. Once, I had to use mushrooms, as you will one day use another poison. Now is the time to teach you to dream with the One.
Even if I told you I can't abandon my family?
I know you love them, Fire Dancer, but I'm going to give you something more powerful. I'm giving you the dream. I'm giving you the One. With it, you'll dance the spiral back into balance. You'll be one with the fire, air, and water, with the very Earth Mother. Everything has ties to the One, even your family. Come, take my hand. Together, we'll dance the poison, and you'll learn it's only illusion.
Then White Calf was right.
More than she could ever know.
Little Dancer reached for the Man of Light, fingers grasping into a brilliant flash. He awoke, flat on his back, staring up into the night sky. A terrible thirst burned with the intensity of fever. In his mouth, his tongue rasped like dry leather. He forced himself to sit up, looking about owlishly, trying to place where he was. A solitary spire of rock supported his back.
What?
He blinked, remembering. He'd climbed to find Wolfdreamer. The snake had bitten him. Frantic fingers clawed at his leg, feeling familiar, firm flesh. He stared around, seeing nothing out of order in the darkness. The memory of Wolfdreamer settled warm in his mind. He danced with the Wolfdreamer. Together, they'd been the oneness, floating like the wind, dancing with the pulse of the universe, singing and chanting in harmony with the beat of the Creator. In that manner, they'd felt the twirling beauty of the spinning stars, heard the songs of distant suns, and felt the pulse of life. His soul had become light. That bit of flesh that made up Little Dancer had been left behind. The glory of the One shimmered in his memory, absorbing his thoughts until he realized the sun had climbed into the sky.
Can I do it again? Can I dance the One? Dream it out of the air without Wolf Dreamer?
He felt the call, desperate, yearning. Like a melody on the wind, it came to him.
The Wolf Bundle.
He crawled to the edge of the pinnacle and looked over the side. The spirit of the rocks hummed beneath him. Without a worry, he lowered himself, seeking a foothold. First, he had to recover the Wolf Bundle. In the depths of his mind, he could feel it, as he'd always known he could. The long wait had come to an end. So little time remained. He had to get the Wolf Bundle, restore its power. And he had so much to learn. Two Smokes hitched his painful way up the side of the drainage. In his hand, he clutched a delicate shock of rice grass. The seed pods, full and ready to burst, bobbed as he walked. He stumped over to a large flat boulder. There, he pulled the leather roll of his grass collection from where it traveled securely in his belt. He unrolled the long leather strip, staring at the various grasses he'd collected through the years. He had lots of rice grass, of course, and now stared at it, admiring the fragile beauty. Absently, he picked up a rounded sandstone cobble and used it to smash a seed pod of the rice grass, staring at the flattened seed and the tiny hairs.
You stupid old fool!
He blinked, feeling the pieces of his long quest coming together. Here lay the answer, after all the years of chewing individual seeds, of grinding grass stems and pulling the shoots apart by the hour to nibble the sweet stalks of the grass.
No! People can't eat the body of the grass, but the seeds, yes, the seeds can be eaten.
His heart felt fit to burst, and a tear trickled down his weathered cheek. He'd never thought to collect the seeds. They were the smallest part of the plant. But many times he had plucked a stem just to have the seeds fall out and scatter. And no matter that seeds were small, there were so many. Grass grew everywhere. He looked about, seeing the nodding heads of grass going to seed everywhere. As he did so, movement caught his eye. The black wolf walked out of the juniper, followed by Little Dancer. Two Smokes waved his hands.
Hey, come here! I found it! I found the secret of the grasses! Come look! It's the seeds! It's the seeds!
Little Dancer wound around the stands of rabbit brush, a weary stumbling to his walk. Like a man in a dream, he made his way. The wolf trotted swiftly to one side, panting in the heat. Not until he stood before Two Smokes did the old Bear Dash realize the difference. That familiar face had changed. Even the scar on his cheek seemed to stand out, lit from within.
Little Dancer!
You found the secret?
It's the seeds! We can collect the seeds in a basket like we do berries, and... Little Dancer, what happened?
I dreamed with the first man. He came, found me on the top of the rock. Together we dreamed. And two smokes. It was so beautiful. So beautiful.
And Elk Charm? What about her?
Wolf Dreamer will protect her. I asked. Asked that you all be protected.
What about you?
Little Dancer reached out to place both hands on his shoulders. A tingling shot through Two Smokes, and he lost himself in the depths of the brown eyes staring so thoughtfully into his.
Two Smokes, I see now. You've given so much, and no one has ever understood. And you found the secret of the grass?
Yes. You have to collect the seeds. They're little, but they're everywhere. It's not the stems, you see, but the seeds that are important. I never thought to grind them. That's the difference. And it's been right before my eyes the whole time. Grind the seeds into a paste like we do with biscuit root.
And you've tasted this?
Well, not yet, but I can. I will. I bet it's wonderful.
Would you collect some? Make it for me. The first, to take it with me.
Take with you? You're going dreaming?
I have to go. The wolf bundle needs me. It's time, old friend. The spiral has come around. But I just don't know how I...
But there's a war going on up there!
And maybe it will end now. Maybe I can dream it away.
You can't dream all those short buffalo people away. And Blood Bear.
Is my father. Circles, Two Smokes. Everything runs in circles, even the spiral. Make me your grass secret. Despite the worry I see in your eyes, Two Smokes, your heart is near to bursting over this.
What's happened to you? You're different. Is it the power?
I don't know what to say anymore. People, Elk Charm, they don't... Two Smokes, I dreamed with the first man. I saw the illusion of all of this. We touched, he and I, and we danced and dreamed and sang. Together, we shared the one, the harmony of everything.
Go on.
But I... The one. It's a whole, wondrous... Your soul sings and dances and it's...
Tell me. Tell me about Wolf Dreamer and the One. Tell me about it.
It's beautiful. Like the wheeling of stars and joy of the light and the heart of a snowflake and the drifting of a bit of down. And your soul pulses with the power. Is one with it. Breathes with it. Do you understand?
Sort of. At least I think I do. The wolf bundle used to send a tingle of something like that through me. It was as if I could sense the presence of a huge cavern. My fingertips could only explore the edge.
I fell through it. And back again, inside out in the light. But I...
Yes?
I can't tell you. Not in words that make sense. I can't say what it is to become lost in the great mystery, in the Creator's dream. Words don't tell what it's like explaining orgasm to a rock. Don't laugh. How do I tell people? How do I make them understand? Two Smokes, I don't fit anymore. I've been beyond this world, dreamed the one, heard the song of the stars. I felt the soul of God. Don't you see? I feel like an adult, and the world around me is full of children. None of their problems are important, but they are, of course. Only it's all illusion. Existence here, on this earth, the reality is so different for everyone. We all make it up. Only, how do I tell them?
I understand.
No, you couldn't. Not unless you dreamed the one, danced with...
Not your dream. That's not what I mean.
Little Dancer stared at him, a hollow look in his passionate eyes.
I always wondered why I was chosen. Why I, Berdash, was tied to your life.
I don't understand.
No, I don't suppose you do. It's too new for you. You're lost, floundering in a swollen river of new experiences that's rushing you along so fast you think you're drowning. But among the Red Hand, a Berdash is prized. We are called mediators, living in the worlds of a man and a woman. But we live in two other worlds, that of power and earth. Clearwater came to me at first because I could understand her dreams. She could tell me what it meant, and I could help her understand. I remember when the dreams of Bloodbear first began to bother her. She couldn't see the sense in letting him couple with her. Even then, he was a violent man. He needed to hurt her to enjoy sex, to release his seed. I couldn't understand either, but it was power, and I wouldn't ridicule her. Then when his seed caught, the dreams changed. Clearwater came to me telling me about how she needed to steal the wolf bundle, how the two of us had to run away. Of course I went with her. Those days, little dancer. She and I walked alone, but together. And power ebbed and flowed around us. The wolf bundle practically hummed with power. Then you were born, and we were so glad. That was the first time I used the wolf bundle for a birth. That was the first time I felt it pulsing in my hand and I could sense the cavern, the one lying just beyond the ends of my reach. What a wondrous thing that was. So you can imagine my horror when the buffalo gored your mother and left me crippled in the dirt. What purpose could that tragedy have had? Then one night after White Calf rescued me, I swore to protect you. And I foolishly swore over the wolf bundle, which bound me forever.
And you took very good care of me. I've never thanked you for it.
Nor am I finished. For now, at this time of your life, I have finally become useful.
Awed, Two Smokes experienced the sense of power of the cavern just beyond his reach. Little Dancer licked his lips, the question in his eyes.
A Berdash lives between the circles. Man and woman, earth and power. I am your bridge, Little Dancer. Through me, you can touch this world you call illusion. I can ease the way for you, teach you, and understand you at the same time I understand the people around you. That's why I was chosen. Perhaps that's why the secret of the grass evaded me until this moment. The circle had to come full.
But what do I do?
Dream, Little Dancer. That's what you do. You dream the real new way for the people. You dream the spiral back. Leave the rest to me. I've been shaped for this just as a horn bowl is shaped and carved by a craftsman. Fool that I was, I'll be serving you until the end. And through it, I'll get my wish. I'll get to touch the one. Thank you for this day, wise one above. Thank you for the wonder. Thank you for the light of understanding. I, Two Smokes, thank you for letting me finally see.
Elk Charm sat at the top of the trail, staring up toward the peaks where Little Dancer had gone.
How long will it take?
As she sat, she rubbed long sections of the juniper bark back and forth between her calloused palms. By working the hairy bark vigorously, she could shred it into fibers and crush them to make an absorbent for her infant's bottom. And infants can go through an incredible amount of absorbent. She chewed fretfully at her lip, taking a quick look to see that the baby slept peacefully in the cradle board. She saw Two Smokes hobbling along in his swinging walk before she made out Little Dancer, and the lean shape of the black wolf darting through the sage. Something about the way Little Dancer walked, that curious looseness so uncharacteristic of him, reminded her of a man in a daze. Getting to her feet, she ran for him. She threw herself into his arms. Only when she felt him stiffen and draw back did she look up, searching his face.
Little Dancer, are you all right?
I'm fine. I've dreamed, you see, touched the one.
Elk Charm, Elk Charm, he's been in the spirit world. He dreamed with the first man.
Little Dancer?
He reached out, placing hands on either side of her face. For that moment, he smiled for only her, and her soul leapt.
Elk Charm. My wonderful Elk Charm. I understand. You, too, have taught me. That's why you came to me. I couldn't have ever understood all the ways of love without you. I couldn't have understood so much about people and why they are the way they are.
Elk Charm shook her head, confused, happy that he held her. If only she didn't have the dread that something precious had begun to slip away from her life. Little Dancer backed away, reaching for her hand as well as Two Smoke's.
Come. I have to prepare. There isn't much time.
Time for what?
But Little Dancer had already continued his way, stopping only to place his hands on the baby's face before walking down the trail. As she unhitched the cradle board from the tree, she noticed that Two Smoke studied her.
It's time. He must go now.
Tanager ran, exulting in the rush of air from her lungs as her leg muscles pumped. For the first time in her life, she found her place. Where once she'd been teased for her odd ways, now she would prove her worth. She twisted around trees, vaulting rocks and deadfall where it lay in the trail. Like the wind, no one could keep up with Tanager when she shot through the trees like a dancing dart. Not even the most powerful men could match her fleet steps. Here, the heart of the mountains was Tanager's element. She ran with White Calf's darts, a legacy of power and courage, clenched in her hand. White Calf's skin had sunk, going sallow, exposing the lines of the skull, as Tanager lifted her old head from the ground.
So, it's done.
White Calf?
Hush. I don't have long. My power will be with you, girl. Use it well. Just promise me you'll follow the dreamer. He's coming. I can feel him. Feel him with the edges of my mind. Power's calling.
I was afraid when I saw the whirlwind.
Pretty good, eh? Wish I knew if I'd done that. Or if it was just chance. Ah, oh, wish I could see their faces when that fool warrior tells.
Easy. Rest easy, White Calf.
Dreamer's coming. Dreamer.
Now she ran, powered by anger, driven by a will to see her darts driven through as many short buffalo people as she could find. Nor would she smile again until the sun set on the last of their raven-picked, coyote-ravaged flesh.
So a dreamer's coming? So is death, short buffalo people, and I'm bringing it!
Tanager slowed, catching her breath, moving with the silence of a midnight shadow as she threaded her way through the thick stands of fir. She skirted a meadow, catching a glimpse of men moving across the grass. Before her rose a knob of rock defended by only a few, while a circling band of warriors shook fists, dancing to their power before they cast darts up into the rocks above.
Come and die, short buffalo! You may kill us, but we'll chase the souls of your dead on past the star web!
Tanager's anger broke loose as she charged heedlessly into the open, sprinting across the grass, a dart already knocked in the balanced atlatl. Tanager whirled, close enough to physically drive a dart through another. Spirit took her, possessing her, dancing her through the darts, making her a whirlwind of death. The power power coursed through her veins, giving her the strength and agility to dance away from deadly darts and close with her enemy. Her jabs and thrusts seemed to slip by their guard, bringing blood before she skipped lightly away. Pandemonium broke loose as they charged her, unable to cast their deadly missiles lest they impale their friends. Around and through them, Tanager danced death. Then the enemy broke, running, scattering as she pursued, aware of Neversweat and other Red Hand following, plucking up dropped darts to cast at the backs of the Short Buffalo warriors. Her band pursued, chasing stragglers down the trails and into the maze of timber. Tanager paused, aware that the last of her victims lay at her feet. Trembling, she bent to wrench an angular rock from the resisting ground. The man turned, looking up. Drained, she slowly retraced her way. In the meadow, she stopped to pull darts from the dead, driving the keen points into the hearts of the wounded. She stood on the thick summer grass, watching Neversweat's warriors walking out of the trees, jumping, slapping each other on the back. They went quiet as they approached, staring around at the dead, nervous, awed glances returning to her. Where she stood over the body of a dead warrior, she reached down, placing her hand in his blood. She met their eyes, one by one, as she straightened, lifting her bloody hand to the sun.
Once we were the Red Hand! We lost the right to that name under Bloodbear's leadership!
At that, she clapped her bloody hand to her chest, letting the clotted liquid seep into Two Smoke's carefully tanned leather. Elk Charm slashed the grass with her digging stick. The seeds shot every which way, most missing the collecting basket. Hungry Bull saw her anger and straightened before walking over. She crouched on her knees, head down. Morning-shorn hair tickled at the nape of her neck. She barely felt Hungry Bull's hand on her shoulder.
We've always known.
Not like this. I never thought it would be like this. Last night, in the robes, he wouldn't even touch me. He pushed me away, said he couldn't. Not with the dream. I don't know him anymore. I can't reach him. He's a stranger to me.
He's found power. It's something beyond us. Two Smokes was telling me...
Two Smokes? Two Smokes? That's all I ever hear anymore. Two Smokes is the only one who can talk to him? I hate him. I hate it all. Maybe he'd better go with his bear dash, share his robes with him.
Hush. You don't mean that. You're angry right now, upset. Two Smokes has never been anything but kind to us all. He's shown us how to live. When you had your babies, it was Two Smokes who sat with you all night, feeling your pain. It was Two Smokes who nursed you when you were sick that time. He loves you with all his heart. And if he heard you say that, you would have killed a part of his soul. It's not his fault.
Elk Charm glared up at him, made more miserable by the knowledge that he was right.
There, now. This will all be over one day.
I'm glad you believe so. I can feel the change. It's all through him, like pus in a wounded deer.
Perhaps. But he was born for it. I guess I never really thought it would be like that. I always tried to avoid power. I never understood it. Maybe that's why White Calf left him with me. Maybe he needed to live like that.
Elk Charm looked up at him, resenting the extra time Hungry Bull had had with his son. Time she'd been excluded from. The thought shamed her. She turned her head away.
I know. But I love him too. I've got my own sorrow. When I should have been there for him, I was locked away in my own heart. I spent too long mourning Sage Root, drowning myself in pity when I should have been listening to his needs, helping him come to terms with the dreams. Instead, I ran away, kept to myself. You gave him the happiest moments of his life, you know.
Why doesn't it feel that way?
Because the hurt is new. and you're making yourself suffer for what might come in the future.
I don't see anything getting better. All he does is sit up on the ridge with that cursed wolf. When I go to talk to him, he's locked away in his head, dreaming during the day. He barely eats. He won't talk except to Two Smokes. It's making me crazy.
Two Smokes says they're going after the wolf bundle.
I know.
It's power, Elk Charm. It's just the way it is. We can't control it. If a tree falls in the forest, it's beyond our power to set it upright again. Power is like that with Little Dancer. Power is part of the world, like the wind that blows over trees. Once it's come, it won't go back again.
When a tree blows over, it's dead.
And that's one of the better things about power. He's not dead.
He might just as well be.
Hungry Bull lifted her chin with a calloused finger, searching her eyes.
Tell me, if you could drive the power out, and you knew it would ruin his life, like cutting off his leg, would you?
No.
Wouldn't you be grateful he's happy? Isn't that the real meaning of love? No matter what, you've got the girls. You've had his smiles and all his love. Now he has to belong to the world and spread what he knows around. Two Smokes thinks Little Dancer can change things, stop the war. Isn't that worth something?
For a long time, Elk Charm hesitated, knowing she remained powerless to stop the turmoil her life had been pitched into.
I suppose. And I know he has to do this. To stop him would kill him. I just didn't know how badly I'd hurt.
Then come on. Let's fill these baskets and see if this scheme to make food out of grass is any good.
Someone comes!
The cry drew Heavy Beaver's attention from the bits of feather and bone he'd laid out on the finely tanned buffalo cowhide before him. Across the way, Seven Sons watched curiously, massaging his wrist where the joints had started to stiffen and bite.
I think this bodes well. The Annie-Taw will be moving, trying to hide in the timber.
I think it doesn't take a spirit dreamer to know that. If I put myself in the Annie-Taw's place, what would I do with an entire people swarming over my country?
You may place yourself in anyone's position you want, old friend. But remember yours.
Heavy Beaver enjoyed the stiffening of Seven Sons' lined features. The old man could have turned to stone, only the knowing eyes remained expressive. And of course, Seven Sons knew the reality of his situation.
Perhaps I should see to this new disturbance.
Heavy Beaver pulled himself to his feet, irritated by the extra bulk he'd put on. He ducked through the lodge flap and straightened, watching the evening sunset falling blood red over the mountains that rose above him. Here, where once the Annie-Taw had camped, the packed lodges of the people now pointed their tops toward the vault of the summer-scorched sky. The dense forest of juniper and tall sage rising behind the camp crackled with drought. Heavy Beaver turned his steps toward the commotion, rounding a lodge to find a knot of people bearing a warrior.
Straight wood.
The warrior's head hung low, one leg hitched up painfully as he hobbled. Heavy Beaver stopped, shrugging so his white buffalo hide cape would sit regally on his shoulders.
What has happened?
Straight Wood raised his head. Pain racked his pale face. Sweat streaked his clothing and glistened in a sheen on his pallid skin. Looking closely, Heavy Beaver could make out the blood stains on the young man's legs.
Spirit. Spirit dreamer.
Get him some water. Place him on a robe so we can relax. Someone get him food.
Heavy Beaver watched while the others led Straight Wood to a lodge and placed him on a hurriedly provided robe. After food and water were provided, the people crowded around until Heavy Beaver gestured them back, the word dreamer still echoing in his mind.
Now you're safe. Tell us what's happening.
We captured an Annie-Taw woman. She escaped and killed Two Blue Moons and Tiny Ant. We tracked her and came to a rock overhang like the Annie-Taw live in.
An old woman set out in front. She told us to leave or die. Left hand darted her, and the woman we'd captured ran. I went to see about the old woman. She wasn't dead. It was...
Yes? Yes, go on.
It was the old witch. Whitecap.
This isn't trouble. I cursed her to die long ago. She was powerful. It took warriors I had personally blessed to kill her. You see, my people, not even a powerful witch can stand before the dreaming of Heavy Beaver.
Then you'd better dream harder.
She didn't die?
She died, I think.
You think?
I didn't stay long enough to find out. The Anita woman killed Left Hand, Quickfall, Firm Dart, and all the others. The old woman sat there, looking like she'd triumphed. She told me that we'd brought about the death of the people. She said, "Fool, with my death you've spat upon power for the last time."
So you'll have us believe that one woman killed all those brave warriors? Fool is right. Straightwood, tell us the truth now. You fought a party of Anita warriors, didn't you? You became frightened and ran, didn't you?
You call me a coward? Then listen, Heavy Beaver. Listen good, all of you.
Enough of this. I think we know the full truth of it.
Straightwood struggled up, almost falling as fresh blood broke out to leak down his leg.
You listen, Heavy Beaver. Listen.
Get him to rest. He's fevered.
Whitecap told me. You're the last. Run now. Run like you've never run before, boy. Tell Heavy Beaver that a new leader has risen among the Anita. Her name is Tanager. And tell Heavy Beaver that a dreamer and the wolf bundle are coming for him. Tell him and all the people they'll have to dance with fire.
What's this? A woman? A woman? You expect me and all the people to believe that a woman will drive my warriors out of the mountains?
You refuse to hear me out. You accuse me of cowardice. Then know this. I ran from Whitecaps. But I thought I'd been foolish. I found Ha's strength where he trapped a party of Anita in the rocks. There I proved myself. I killed one of the Anita and started to charge their position. When this same woman appeared in the middle of our warriors, she killed right and left. Darts wouldn't touch her. She danced and sang with a strange smile while...
Enough! We'll hear the rest of this when Ha's strength's warriors...
You'll wait a long time! He's dead! So are most of his war party. She gave heart to the Anita, and they charged down from the rocks. We couldn't stop them. They came and came and came until we ran. You hear that, Heavy Beaver? We all ran!
Routed by a woman? Take him away. He's out of his mind, delirious with pain.
Straightwood lifted his bloody shirt, exposing the wounds in his side.
You know so much, Heavy Beaver. You've seen wounds. You look. You know the difference in how a dart goes in and comes out. I took this facing a man.
You see? No wonder he's delirious. Poor man. Take him away. I'll come sing over him later, try and bring him back to his right mind.
Then I'll tell you another thing I saw. I saw Whitecap's ghost rise into the air. You've all heard the stories. Her ghost called a whirlwind and rode into the sky.
You'd better be right, boy. Because lying simply to scare the people and cover your own cowardice will bring down a more terrible fate than an Anita dart.
And Heavy Beaver stomped away, breaking through the ring of surrounding people who watched him intently.